Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Coming up, we've got an iPad Air. We've got a Retina Mini.
It's wrong.
It's the best week of my life.
Plus, iLife and iWorks apps have gone totally free. The best ways to get really, truly secure chat. And iOS 7 gets updated and, yes, gets better.
All that. And I'm stuck on something called Device 6, and I want off.
iPad Today is brought to you by 99 Designs, the world's largest graphic design marketplace. 99 Designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of more than 225,000 graphic designers. Visit 99designs.com/iPad today and you'll get a free power pack upgrade valued at $99. And by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/iPad today. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPad, iPhone, or other Apple product is worth at gazelle.com. Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to iPad Today, the show where Sarah Lane and I talk about iPads.
With beautiful butterflies.
This is a good week for us because we got new iPads.
Just when we start to think, I can't stand a new do another show with you, and you start to think, that woman I cannot stand.
Why?
Then we get new iPads, and then we're like, yay!
I love doing this show with you.
I know. I was trying to make it dramatic, like the two of us were about ready to throw in the towel for the last time.
Well, it's interesting because
when we got new iPads.
I don't think the new iPads are so much better that you would go, oh, woohoo. I think, in fact, this problem Apple faces is that the iPad is pretty good. For crying out loud, they're still selling the iPad 2.
Yeah.
We're all the way up. This would be iPad now 5, right? The fifth generation.
Correct. But thankfully, we're not going to call it that. We're going to call it the iPad Air.
Air is so good.
Yeah.
Of course, that opened themselves up right away. Amazon with the Kindle Fire HDX said lighter than Air. Didn't take much time.
Okay. Well,
This is lighter. This Air is a lot lighter. In fact, this is one thing. I think the one thing that you might want to get an Air for, if you have a fourth generation iPad. Third generation was kind of slow because it was the first Retina with a slower processor.
This is what I've got here.
The fourth third gen. Yeah, that's what I have too. The fourth generation is probably the sweet spot, but here's why you might want. It's 0.4 pounds lighter. It's 1 pound instead of 1.4 pounds.
Right.
And that's a big difference. That's a huge difference.
It's lighter.
It's 1.75 millimeters thinner. That's not a big deal. Does have this new chip, this A7 chip, which is a lot faster, probably twice as fast as your iPad or my iPad.
Right. Well, that's
MIMO Wi-Fi. I don't know if that's going to make a big difference. That means it has dual antennas, so it can do, in theory, it can do twice as fast. I don't know if we'll see that in real world. It does not support AC. All the new Apple laptops support 802.11 AC, and Apple's AirPort Extreme supports AC,
right.
But this is just N. I'm not sure why they didn't put AC. Probably no portable chipset yet. It's still a draft standard.
I also think, for the most part, they know who their audience is, and that's not a spec that people are caring about too much.
In fact,
I mean, A7 also, for a lot of people, doesn't mean much, but it's like, hey, does my iPad lag less? Yes.
It's twice as fast.
2X,
that's good.
That's very good.
And they didn't ever mention how much RAM it has, for instance. We talked about that before. People were saying, well, maybe they'll put more RAM in. Nobody even knows how much RAM it has. That's not the audience it's talking about.
No. Well, because it's not like you're going to be able to, like, swap it out or do any upgrading.
As Johnny Ive would say, you get what you get. It's the best iPad we've ever made.
Well, it better be.
It always is.
I mean,
you don't go backwards.
Imagine him saying, it's almost as good as the 3. But it's lighter. Almost as good as the 3. Yeah, so you've got the iPad Air, which for the first time, and, you know, Leo and I covered the announcement. With the regular group with Andy Notko and Alex Lindsay. Thanks everybody
who was
watching live. Yeah, live events are always fun, especially Apple ones, because as nerdy as they can be at times, you know, we all get together and everybody's pretty excited. But nobody predicted that we would hear anything like a new naming convention.
No, we knew
iPad Air was out of the blue.
We knew it would be thinner, smaller.
Yeah.
The bezels would be shrunk. We pretty much knew what it would look like.
Yeah.
But the name, no. And I think it's a good. I like the name. You like the name?
I like it a lot, especially since this time last year, a lot of people were upset because the iPad 4th Gen came out and they called it the iPad. Remember? That's where the whole new iPad joke started coming
confusing.
In. Because earlier in 2012, is it 2013? Yes. We had the iPad 3, and then it was the new iPad, so people started saying iPad 4th Gen. So yes, even though technically we're on 5th Gen, we can just stop that whole thing. iPad Air.
Stop it now!
Stop it. And the next iPad Air will just be the iPad Air. We won't have to keep talking about this.
They also kept the old iPad 2, and that's got to be because schools maybe or people who are really stuck with 30-pin connectors. The iPad 2 is low res. It's 1024 by 768. It is only 16 gigabytes. It's really the inexpensive iPad. Here's to me the second biggest surprise after the iPad Air name. The iPad Mini is part for part functionally identical.
Yes.
To the iPad Air.
That's correct.
So
A7 chip, Retina screen. Can we?
I'm pleased that they did Retina.
Let's press a little pause on everything else for a second.
Call me to task.
Week ago, right here at this very set, you remember, Leo said it's not going to happen. We're not going to get a Retina.
But remember what
Mini.
I said after that?
That's right.
That as a kid, I always, when I wanted something, would say it's not going to happen
because
then I'm pleasantly surprised.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I am pleasantly surprised.
There you go. But you really did believe it wasn't going to happen.
And I still want to underscore this, that the reasons I believed it wasn't going to happen was I didn't think Apple wanted to raise the price on the Mini. They did by $70.
Mm-hmm.
It apparently doesn't hit battery life. That was the second concern. But here's the third concern, availability. And this, notice when it's available, coming later in November. They still don't have a date for it. And my prediction is it's going to be a very short supply item. They're having trouble with these small Retina displays. Now, this will be the highest pixels per inch display Apple offers at, 326 pixels per inch. Because it is 2048 by 1536 in a 7.9-inch display. Same resolution as its big brother, but in a smaller display. It has the same chip, same speed, probably same specs across the board. So now you have a little bit of a challenge because it used to be the Mini was kind of smaller, yes, but also less powerful. Now it's the same. It's almost the same as the iPad Air. It's just you're really deciding what size you want.
And that's strange because now people are in. Well, it's a
tough choice.
It's a tough
position
choice. To be in. It's, what do I do? Bigger or smaller? But it really does. If you're looking to get a new iPad. It used to be, the Mini doesn't have Retina, but boy, is it nice and light, and it's portable, and it feels good in your hands and the whole thing. Now the full-size iPad is thinner and lighter, so there's less of that, it's bigger, but it's clunkier. That argument doesn't really stand anymore. And everybody who was at the event, who was able to do a little show-and-tell and hands-on stuff afterwards, they all kind of say the same thing, where it's like, it's just a matter of taste. It's really not a matter of specifications, because it's the same thing. It's exactly the same thing.
Yeah, and the fact that the iPad Air is so much lighter. One of the reasons I liked the Mini is because it was light and I could hold it in one hand. Well, the iPad Air is now narrow enough. They shrunk the bezels that you can hold it in one hand, and it's half a pound lighter. It's a lot lighter. They're very close. And I'm not sure where I'll go. I'm thinking I'm still going to you're going to buy the Air, right?
I'm going to
That's yours.
I've always liked the bigger iPad anyway.
Yeah.
It's just...
And this will solve the problems you had.
It's just fine.
You kind of liked the Mini because it was lighter. When you fell asleep holding the Air, it didn't bonk you in the nose as badly. This will have that advantage.
We'll see.
Because you're going to buy the Air, I'll probably buy the Mini.
You think so?
With Retina.
And is this going to be that'll be your primary? Because we got to think about the show. Good for the show?
No matter what, I need to buy a new stand.
That would be true. Yeah, because the Right. It's not going to fit exactly.
So I'm going to need to buy a new stand anyway.
So we're going to, I'm going to get an Air. I don't know, you're going to have to figure it out.
I don't know what
out,
I'm going to do, because I don't even know. They say later in November, that could be November 30th.
I think it would kind of be cool, because on this show, even though we both have minis, we use the full-size iPads just because it kind of looks better
on
the set.
Yeah, it's easier to shoot on the camera.
But it would be kind of nice if we each always had one or the other. Because then it could be a little bit of a comparison.
They'll be the same resolution.
Because sometimes
if you zoom the camera in, they'll be indistinguishable.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. But it would be kind of nice because at this point, we don't really ever have our minis that we're testing anything on on set here.
It's funny. You and I did not upgrade to the fourth generation iPad.
That's right.
I was very happy with the
three.
There
was kind of no need to.
I think a lot of people are going to stay with their four if they have one. There's iPad is pretty mature. It's a, it's really kind of done.
Yeah.
So all we're doing is little, you know, shrinking the bezel, speeding it up a little bit. Even the speed up, I think a lot of people say, well, I don't feel like my iPad's slow. So do I need to upgrade for speed? No. I wonder. You know, what we did notice, and you probably didn't notice it in the graph that Tim Cook was showing, but you could notice it in others' graphs, the sales of the iPad are starting to flatten. And it could be because everybody knows there's a new iPad coming and they're waiting. Or it could be because everybody's happy. It's saturated. Everybody's got an iPad, wanted an iPad, has one, and they're happy with it, and they don't feel the need to buy a new one. We'll see. We'll find out. Next quarterly results from Apple will tell us how popular this is.
You know what else is new, and this actually applies to your brand new shiny MacBook Pro that you've got in your
I bought
lap
the only
here.
Thing I could get that was available.
is iWork and iLife are all now free.
Everything's
with
free.
With any new iOS or Mac device.
And compatible across all platforms. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons the Mini had to go to the A7 is so that it would have a 64-bit processor. And then they could say, iWork works exactly the same across all of our platforms.
Exactly.
That's good news.
It's great. We can talk a little bit about what exactly got updated a little bit later in the show. But then there's this, it's really sort of spawned this whole debate about, well, what's Apple's, what are they trying to achieve here? Because it's not as if Apple is great at a lot of things, but not exactly known as a company that's giving stuff away. It's more, hey, pay a premium for the best stuff. That's where Apple wants to, that's kind of their stance.
They're giving away the operating system too now.
Yep. Mavericks, which I updated at least on my desktop computer, not my laptop just yet. I don't even know if this thing is capable
here's my thought
of upgrading
on that.
Anything.
I think it's not just Apple. I think Microsoft's doing the same thing. Windows 8.1 is free. Office comes free with their Surface tablets. I think this is kind of the new normal, that people will buy hardware and expect a nice bundle of software to come with it. Part of that's because the price of software has gone down so much with 99-cent apps on the iPhone and the iPad. What's the difference between free and 99 cents? Not much.
Not much at all.
And it certainly encourages people to buy Apple hardware, and Apple has a very good profit margin on the hardware, so why not? I felt that this was coming with the Mac Pro. Now, they haven't announced it yet, but I thought, you know, the Mac Pro is going to cost enough. They did announce $3,000 for the base model. They probably should bundle Final Cut into it, maybe Logic Pro 10 into it, and say, hey, you know, buy a Mac Pro, get all the Pro software with it.
Yeah, right.
That would be logical. They've certainly done that in the consumer level. And I'm thrilled. I think it's great.
I'm very excited. I mean, I know
you... I bought them all anyway, so I'm going to...
Yeah.
I just go to the App Store and I'm going to get them. But it's somebody who's... In fact, I'm downloading right now all the apps that I've already purchased. That's one of the nice things about the App Store is all your apps are there.
Oh, and that's the nice thing about having them free as well is it's not so much just that they're free, which is... That's just a nice touch. But it's just more of a reason than you're going to be able to use these apps.
Right.
That are very nice. And in many cases, they're just as nice on an iOS device as the Mac version. Some of the Mac versions of these apps have a little bit of functionality here and there that the iOS version doesn't always have. But
well, that's what I'm wondering, because I heard them say that they're going to be compatible, the same. So that I wonder, will the feature set be the same across the board?
Well, they're already not exactly the same.
No, I know, and I thought maybe they were implying they're going to be the same.
Well,
maybe not.
Eventually, I think operating systems will be the same in general.
Right.
But no, we're not quite there yet.
Right.
But I think that's one of the things that's so great about for anybody who has a Mac, you upgrade to Mavericks, it's completely free, everybody's on the same page. It's kind of just easier for Apple to be like, okay, we're all moving together. We're not going to create any barrier for you to say, $20 upgrade, I'll just stop thinking about that. It's easy for us to all be on the same page, which, again, I think helps Apple, because if everybody's up to date on all of their operating systems, it's just easier for us to merge as one.
Well, it's also...
I was going to use a sheep analogy, but that makes us seem like we don't think for ourselves.
Lemmings, sheep, what's the difference?
Whatever.
It also is great for developers, because developers are now writing for a single operating system.
Exactly.
In most cases, they're writing for similar devices. I think this is probably a smart move for Apple. And I don't know how much money they're leaving on the table. I mean, these weren't expensive apps anyway. And if it sells more Macs, that's the calculus they're doing in their heads. Will this sell more iPads, iPhones, and Macintoshes? Will it sell enough more that it makes up for the loss of revenue in the software? I'm sure it will.
One of the best parts of this week, which has nothing to do with new hardware, is the latest update to iOS 7. Have you updated yet? 703.
I did, and it came out the same day of all these announcements, partly to support features in Mavericks, the iCloud keychain.
But partly to fix stuff that wasn't working all that well.
Like your spirit level.
Like my spirit level?
It wasn't the spirit level, it was the compass. Did you know that you have a spirit level?
Is it like a spirit animal?
No, it's nothing so exciting.
Oh.
Do you ever hang pictures?
Yes.
You know,
Yeah. That's called a spirit?
Well, it isn't on a digital device, but on a physical device, that's what's in those bubbles is spirits.
Oh.
I have to find my spirit
level. Is that
like
what they put into liquor drinks? Spirits?
It is.
Okay.
It's so it doesn't...
I didn't realize it.
I don't have it on my...
It's funny because that...
I guess
so,
it's iPhone only.
It's like the opposite of staying level when it's those kinds of spirits. You know what it also fixes?
Oh, you really went there.
I'm just talking through it.
Am I a level right now?
Am I standing up?
See, that's... You pull out your iPhone, you put it on the top of your head.
Everybody go.
I'm level.
Who turned out the lights? Hey, so... One of the things that people were complaining about when we all upgraded to iOS 7, and remember the swishing and the swirling, and you said, I'm seasick, it's too much.
Apparently, I wasn't alone.
No, you weren't alone at all. And a lot of people said, no, you can go into your settings, and under accessibility, you can turn on reduce motion. And people said, it doesn't really reduce anything.
Mm-mm.
It reduces very little. This enhances the reduce motion setting. This is just one of the features
it turns off the swooping icons. It's now a dissolve.
It minimizes both motion and animation, and animation was what people didn't like.
So now I dissolve into the App Store, and I come back.
That's a nice light behind you.
Yeah,
looking
good. I'm having trouble with glare.
There you go.
And that's a setting in accessibility, so it may not be somewhere that you will jump to immediately.
General.
By the way, we're starting to see the speed difference on this third generation. See how long it took to get
in
there? Oh,
man. I know.
So reduce motion. If I turn it off, you know, we'll go back to the icons. Watch how the icons fly in.
Woo!
I'm sorry.
I don't know why that bothers you so much, but it is certainly nice to have options.
Now they just dissolve.
Nobody can say Apple made me seasick.
Yeah, it's not even that. It's more an aesthetic feeling to me that it just shouldn't be wasting its energy doing that. You've got better things to do.
Apparently, also fixes the iMessage issue. Many of you may have lost friends. You have relatives that are no longer speaking to you.
So that was an operating system bug when I lost all my friends. Not a real world problem.
It's probably a little of both.
A little bit of both.
I'm being honest. But
I'm
yes,
tempted to go try now iMessages. Is it working better now?
Well, the thing is like I have no idea if I'm still missing messages.
Yeah, how would you know?
I don't know.
You can't prove the negative.
Sometimes I think that guy didn't get back to me because of iMessage. But I don't know if that's true.
No, that guy didn't get back to you.
It might just be because I'm insufferable.
You're weird.
Because I'm weird.
Yeah.
But you know what? His loss. Whatever.
His loss.
You know what?
The heck
with
him.
Keep life weird. And you can just go be normal somewhere boring like that. We've got some other little stuff. VoiceOver input, some of that, for those of you who use it, there were some issues that have been supposedly fixed.
Security issues, too,
iMessage stuff. Yep. System stability when using iWork apps. And,
that's the blue screen of death.
Yes.
Were you ever able to create that blue screen of death? I never was.
I never got a blue screen. I would just get these consistent restarts.
Well, my iPhone is still doing that 5S. In fact, this morning...
Mine is too.
This morning I had it plugged into the Macintosh, and it kept rebooting. Finally I unplugged it and it stopped. So there's still some issues, and that's on 703.
Oh,
that's
really?
The iPhone 5S.
Okay, I haven't seen that at all today, but I only upgraded this morning, so... We'll find out. We'll put it to the test. Yep. I mean, this is all in all very big week. Mini Retina, that's absolutely awesome. The Mini was such a great little iPad, and now it just is going to look as nice as a full
size. I'm really
size.
Thrilled about it.
Yeah.
I am really thrilled about it.
Same amount of pixels, too.
So, exactly.
And as you as we were talking about in our live coverage on Tuesday, that actually makes it technically the better screen.
It's 1 pixel per inch better than the iPhone.
Yeah.
One.
Just a single one.
1 pixel per inch better than the Nexus 7. Or the Fire HDX. 1 pixel per inch.
One pixel.
Hey, but that means we're the best.
Right.
We're number one.
We're number one.
USA. No, okay. I love my Mini, and I am really thrilled. You know that I was complaining a year ago when the Mini came out and it didn't have Retina, and I'm thrilled that it has it. Everybody said, oh, no, Leo, they can't do it with preserved battery life. They can't do it at that price. Maybe they couldn't do it at that price. But I think when the Nexus 7 came out and it was that high of a resolution, it kind of was a wake-up call to Apple. You got to do this. Everybody's going that way. In fact, even Microsoft Windows, the new Surfaces, they're all now, everything now is what Apple would call Retina. Nobody calls it Retina except Apple because it's their trademark.
Yeah.
But, what Apple would call Retina, that is the pixels are so small, there's so high density in pixels that you can't see it at the normal operating distance.
Correct.
That's good. I mean, that means we all have better screens everywhere.
And for those of us who are farsighted, it doesn't really matter.
Really?
Well, because you're...
Because you have to hold it like that.
I can't look at anything too close. Or
see,
it's
I'm nearsighted.
Blurry. So you actually get more out of this.
I can...
And the Mini Retina that's why makes a lot of sense, too.
I think one of the reasons I like the Mini is because I am nearsighted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, and you want it nice and small. See, for me, I'm like, now I just want it bigger because I have to read like this anyway. Like
so it wouldn't
lady.
Help you at arm's length.
It doesn't. No. But it's still nice to know that it's 1 pixel better than everyone else. That's what I like. Hey, so we covered a lot of ground just now. If you've been living under a rock this week and you're saying, now what in the heck was announced this week? I don't want to go to the
shade.
I don't want to go to the internet and read about any of this stuff. We can have the links handy dandy for you in our show notes on this very episode. By the way, we haven't mentioned this is episode 171, which is a palindrome episode, which we haven't had in 11 weeks.
You're really obsessed with that.
Actually, no, 10 weeks, because now we're on the 10th cycle.
Wow,
161 was our last.
Same backwards and forwards.
That's correct. It makes me really happy, particularly when it's numbers.
Like race car.
No,
race car is the same backwards and forwards.
Doesn't make me happy in the same way. Although those 911s, they've got the
Porsches.
Yeah, it's like you got a trunk right in the front.
What the heck? Are you already, you just got a new car and you're already looking at Porsches?
I don't want one of those, but there's a trunk in front.
Yeah, because there's no engine there.
Yeah, yeah. The engine's in the back, it's really loud.
You never drove a Volkswagen, I guess.
No,
yeah.
No, certainly not. It's a lot of fun, though.
Sewing machine's in the back.
Sewing machine in the back. Vroom. Hey, twit.tv/IPT is our website. iPadToday@twit.tv is how you can get a hold of us. By the way, you know what would be awesome?
See? Look, they got a tire.
There's a 911, brand new.
Brand new 911.
Yeah. Absolutely beautiful.
Look at
beautiful.
That styling.
Right. This is our website, and all of our show notes are obviously here as well. Wow. We were aggressive last week. Good grief.
That's scary. When you see people with big mouths like that, I always feel like they're going to bite you.
I feel like you're kind of like, I don't know if I want to be doing this.
I look like I'm afraid you're going to bite me.
And I'm pretty aggressive about it.
Doesn't it look like I'm going, please don't bite me?
It does. Yeah. You got to love Jeff Stewart. You never know what he's going to come up with from our show. That's our editor. He's sort of sabotaging us, sort of not.
He's getting
at
you.
All times. Did yeah,
you,
but all of our you? Links are there.
Yeah.
And we would like to know, by the way, please do email us, iPadToday@twit.tv, and let us know which iPad you're going to buy, if you're going to buy either of them, because it'll just be helpful to know. We're kind of taking a poll here
sure.
Before we get some official numbers.
And we can't hold them yet, so I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. I want to hold them both before I decide.
Know. Also, just before we move on, since we're talking about this, one thing that's a little strange is no pre-orders.
Nothing.
We're getting them on November, was
November
it?
1st for the
November
air.
1st.
They at least set a day for the air.
Yes.
But sometime in November for the Mini? I don't understand.
Why is it not the same day? It's because of the supply chain problems.
I think they're not sure they can get all the screens they want.
Yeah, yeah. But, so, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to order online. I'm not going to wait in line. That's going to be crazy.
So
no pre-orders?
But that means you won't get it November 1st.
Well, I didn't get my iPhone on the day that it launched either.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, I have things to do.
Places
to go. How do people have time to wait in line for, like, 12 hours?
You know what else people don't have time to do?
What?
Design their own landing pages.
I'll say. When are we going to do that?
And not only time. Talent.
Talent? Resources?
Many of us think we have, you know, artistic chops. I've seen Sarah's drawings.
They're not good.
Look, everybody's good at something. You might be a great programmer. You might be a great cook. You know, you have a wonderful restaurant. Tony over here at Central Market shouldn't be designing the menus. He should go to 99designs.com. He's a great cook. He's not a great designer. But guess what? A quarter of a million great designers await you to help you with your mobile app design, with your landing page design, with your new logo, your business card, your T-shirt. We got a great T-shirt from 99 Designs. 99 Designs connects people looking for great graphic designs with their community. More than a quarter of a million designers from all over the world. Here's how it works. You set up what they call a contest. Ooh, look at that. That is nice for an app.
Mm-hmm.
That is nice. If you're developing an iPad app, you can get anything from icons, buttons, to the entire mobile app designed at 99 Designs. And you know, you cannot, you might have a great app. If you release a great app that looks bad on, especially on the iPad, you're dead.
Yeah.
No point. Don't even do it.
You have too much competition. Nobody will come back.
Don't even do it. Mm-hmm. So go to 99designs.com. Say, hey, I've got a great app. Here's what it's going to be. Who wants to help me with this app? You'll get some great submissions. Pick the. You can work back and forth, review the designs, say, hey, how about this? When you find a designer you can really work with, boom, boom, $499. Isn't that awesome? Look, these are all contests for people who need help from 99 Designs. Here's your deal. You could start your next graphic design project for as low as $199. Visit 99designs.com/iPad today. You'll get a $99 power pack there of services absolutely free. A power pack gives you more designer time and attention. 99 Designs will bold, highlight, and feature your design project in the 99 Designs marketplace. You'll get nearly twice as many designs. Look at that. You know, if you were a winemaker or a beer maker, you would get. You should go there to get your labels designed. There are great beer labels out there. And it'd be crazy for you to have, like, a stick figure. You might have great beer, but if you don't have a great label, who's going to know? People do judge a book by its cover. Go to 99designs.com/iPad today, right now. Don't settle for anything less but the best at 99designs.com. We thank them so much for their support of iPad today.
So, Leo, you did mention that there was a graph of iPads being sold. It was like, ooh, exponential
growth. Yeah, Tim Cook showed it, yeah.
And it kind of starts
tapering
to do
off.
This right at the end there. However, yep. Apple was touting some really impressive numbers at the very same event.
170 million iPads sold.
Yeah, and if you try to break it down as much as possible, it seems as though, even in the month of September, which would be
a slow month.
Right.
Because everybody knew a new one's coming.
Yeah. In its last quarter before the announcement, still pushed about 15 million units, which is, of course, direct sales rather than shipments.
That's awesome.
That's still a lot of stuff. That's a lot of movement.
Mike, I got to point out,
it's even higher than a year ago.
Paul Theroux did say something that puts this in perspective.
He said, "You're a tool."
If you think the iPad is a game changer, you're a tool.
Ooh.
But he said that in all fairness when the iPad was announced, before anybody had even touched it. I touched it on that first announcement. It was the last announcement I got to go to. And I knew it was going to be a big deal.
Paul Theroux is obviously a very bright person.
Well, he now has many iPads, and he's completely changed his tune. And he says, look, I'm not a great predictor. Last week, I said there'll be no iPad mini with Retina.
Right, yeah.
It's hard to predict the future.
Yeah.
And we make mistakes a lot. I don't blame Paul for that. In fact, I thought it was great that they quoted him. As soon as I saw the word tool, I thought, Paul Theroux.
Yeah, somebody found the original article.
What
really
Paul pointed out today on Windows Weekly is, yes, 170 million iPads. That's nice. 170 million PCs were sold in the last 6 months in this, quote, post-PC era. Last 6 months.
Yeah.
So that's 3 years of iPad sales. So those are big numbers, and nobody's saying the iPad's not a success. It is. But it has not replaced the PC.
It hasn't, but I think it's, you know, even I would say the first solid year that we hosted iPad Today, Leo said, this is a consumption device.
I did.
I understand that you can make things
right.
on the iPad. And
I was right, but
I
it's changing.
Agree.
No, it's changing.
I think
the air is aimed at the consumption market.
It's
I mean, the creation market.
It's changed because there are more content creation options.
Right.
But I think it always was a creation device.
Yeah.
Since day one, that's what it's been. And that's why it's been so successful. And that's why, no, it's not replacing PCs, but it's definitely eating into their market share.
When you prepare this show, what is that in your lap there? No, your lap, not somebody else's lap.
Undies?
Where are you looking? What's in your lap? It's a...
Underwear.
Computer, not on your lap. Although I'm glad to know. You still, when you're getting ready for the show, what do you use? A computer.
Yeah,
look, you're looking at it.
I know where you're going with this.
People, I mean, yes, GarageBand is awesome on an iPad.
The only reason I have to is because of Google Docs, really.
You can say lots of things, but I still don't think that most content creation happens on a tablet of any kind. You need a keyboard. You just need a different environment. You need a mouse. You need a keyboard.
That's very true.
But that's not in any way a bad thing. Most of the time you use a computer, you're not creating. Even if you're a creator, most of the time you use a computer, you're surfing the net, you're doing email, you're watching videos, you're listening to music.
Mm-hmm.
That's most of the time. So there's nothing wrong with it being a content consumption device.
Agreed.
You can. I mean, GarageBand is beautiful on the iPad. I doubt very many songs were, you know, composed, performed, recorded, and distributed from an iPad directly.
Mm-hmm.
Still, most commercial albums, it's going to be on a computer. So, this is not to deprecate the iPad in any way. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
It's just, it's a creation device more than ever. We could at least say that.
More than before. And notice what Tim Cook showed. They showed GarageBand. They showed the content creation
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're excited about it.
They're clearly, what they didn't release, and I'm kind of surprised, especially given the invitation said, we've got a lot more to cover, is what everybody kind of thought they maybe meant, is a some sort of keyboard cover for it. There's still third-party ones, but Apple doesn't make one.
I was a little bummed about that. Yeah.
So if Apple really wants to make it a content creation device...
Apple just keeps throwing money at Logitech, well, and other companies.
Right.
But that
Apple Bluetooth keyboard with it, but it doesn't
but
go together.
It's nice to have something that's all, it's an all-in-one type of thing, and it sort of works as a stand as well. Hey, did you hear about the TiVo Romeo DVR streaming to iPhones and iPads?
Who is Romeo?
It's the line of TiVo DVRs.
Oh, it's a kind of TiVo.
Romeo, as in like Roman, not like Juliet. So here's
did you hear that Slingbox also now has AirPlay?
Really?
Yes.
No. How did that escape me? Interesting.
I think everybody. This is an example of people acknowledging that it is a great content consumption device.
I think you're right. And more, we get a lot of emails from people saying, "How do I watch this or that? I just want regular TV." If you're a TiVo user, TiVo customer, and you've got an iPad or an iPhone, you can update your TiVo app, start streaming live or recorded content from either the TiVo Romeo Plus or the Pro DVRs while connected to Wi-Fi. You can also choose to download recorded shows for offline viewing over Wi-Fi, assuming that the content creator is there's not copy protection that would keep you from doing that, whether you're at home or whether you're away. And then you can start watching as soon as it starts downloading. And that doesn't apply to Android, although TiVo says it's on the schedule for next year. So it's not exactly the same as a Slingbox, but it's certainly becoming an option if you're a TiVo customer. Absolutely update your apps, and you have more options.
And if you have a Slingbox, get the new iOS apps, because they now support AirPlay.
That's cool.
So you set up your Slingbox at your home theater system.
Mm-hmm.
You have your, you know, as you've always done, you have the Slingbox app on your iPad or your iPhone.
Yep.
But now you can send it to your big screen TV as well. So that would be like at a, I don't know, you'd have to have an Apple TV. So I guess if you go to grandma's house.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Somewhere where there's an Apple TV. But
absolutely.
I think that's kind of nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
That is really nice. So that's TiVo. You know, you mentioned the whole, hey, why did Apple decide to update the fourth gen iPad with the iPad
it's so complicated.
Air? Gosh, it is complicated. It shouldn't be this hard. and still sell the iPad 2. There's a great, a lot of people have asked this question. There's a great article that All Things D wrote up looking at the numbers. And it turns out that the iPad 2 is a best seller. And it has been, even though we've had Retina iPad and a fourth gen Retina iPad.
Well, you don't want the 3, as even though we have the 3, because it's Retina. It's the first Retina. And the processor wasn't very fast, so maybe it was a little sluggish, some people thought.
Yeah.
The 4 has Lightning. Mm-hmm. Maybe you want a 30-pin. So if you want a 30-pin connector, you don't mind 1024 by 768. You want decent speed and you want low price, the iPad 2. So we're thinking schools, prisons, hospitals, prisons.
Prisons? What is that? What? Prisons?
I don't know. Somewhere where they can't get lightning cables because they're behind
bars.
Because
they're in prison. They're content creation. Let's see. Let's see some art on the non-Retina iPad.
No, now, you can get a non-Retina Mini for cheaper.
Right, but that's the thing. It's like it gets weird to me. It's like, do they just have a lot left over? Why is the iPad 2 being sold?
I don't know.
Why?
Only Apple knows this. It probably has some. I'm thinking it has something to do with a 30-pin connector.
What would it have to do? Just because there's enough?
A lot of schools still have peripherals with 30-pin connectors, I'm guessing.
I guess so.
Don't want to buy a new one. Prisons, too. And they don't want to buy new ones. And so
think of the prisons.
Think of the prisons. Just so here's the lineup,
them.
And it's very confusing. $499
Look at these prices.
Yeah, it's very confusing. $499 for the Air. This is all the Wi-Fi 16 gig version.
Why would you get
$399 for the iPad 2? Only $100 less.
Right.
Same price, you can get an iPad mini with Retina display.
Why would you go with the iPad 2 for $400 when you can get the mini Retina for $400?
Right, or if you're really price conscious, why not save a couple hundred bucks and get the old iPad mini for $299?
Right. It just, to me,
it's
got to
be the 30-pin connector.
It doesn't quite add up. We actually have a couple people who weighed in. We'll hear from a few of them later in the show, but it's fascinating. And yes, it's not, this has obviously been well thought out. Apple has their reasons, but
prisons,
but
hospitals,
prisons.
Schools,
prisons.
Boats.
Boats.
I tell you, I'm
on
a boat.
That's for damn sure.
I'm on a boat.
Yeah.
Actually, the hotels I was in, too, during my travels.
Yes, which you were
modern cruise ships, state-of-the-art, beautiful boat built just a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what it has? An iPod or iPhone dock with a 30-pin connector. No lightning. 30 pins are everywhere. Hotels, lots of them still have little, you know, clock radios with 30-pin connectors.
Every time I'm in a bar, which is often, and I'm like, ugh, my phone is dead, which is often.
30-pin connectors.
I say, do you guys have an iPhone charger? And the bartender would be like, sure do, ma'am. And I'm like, I can't work with this.
Really? They don't have lightning at bars.
Not really. No. Not enough.
So prisons, hospitals, boats, and bars. That's your answer.
Prison bars. That's where the money goes. That's the sweet spot.
And schools. I left out schools.
Right.
Because that's the real reason.
Right.
I think it's all about school.
It's all about schools and
they don't even sell. They only sell 16 gigabyte. They do have the 3G, but they only sell 16 gigabyte.
So I've been waiting for my stupid iPad to download the next version of iPhoto. Perhaps it's done at this point.
The new iPhoto is here.
I've really got some issues with my. Does anyone else have this issue? Ever since I upgraded to iOS 7, it's like I'll have the same. It always reverts back. Well, now it says 2 in the App Store because I had to restart a couple times. But it always reverts
those
back
updates
to
updates are funny.
198. It's
what?
Like it goes back to 198.
No one has that problem.
Well, I do.
You have 198 apps to be updated?
Updated, even though I say just update in the background. Oh. I have that all turned on. And then it takes forever, and I have to restart
no,
a couple
it only,
times.
You only have 3 that have to be
well,
done.
That's well, because I've restarted a couple of times.
Oh, I see.
But earlier, I was trying to show
earlier today,
you. Earlier
today. Sorry, I was trying to
okay,
update
Okay, so now
iPad.
We've got the nice new icon.
Oh, what is that?
That's iPhoto.
It's a splat.
It's actually kind of ugly. I don't really like the new icon.
Oh, I get
at all.
It. When you see it in big, it's a palm tree.
It's a palm tree, and that yeah, there's a few photos.
And it's monochromatic.
There.
It's a blue-green gradient.
Yeah.
But it's a kind of a, almost a monochromatic. That is an odd
looking. But the whole iPhoto has been completely updated. And by the way, it's not just iPhoto, but iMovie and GarageBand as well. You'll see, you know, it's like it's almost walking you through iPhoto as if you've never been here because the design has been greatly enhanced. Go ahead and say continue. And then, you know, we've got this nice, like, we've got camera roll. It's separating it by date here, but of course you can look at it other ways via albums or projects, that sort of thing.
It does have to upgrade the photo library. That takes a moment or two.
Yeah, and
oh, that is a sweet picture.
It's cute, huh? Yeah, that's me and some of my friends.
Oh, the buddies.
Yeah, my buddies. But iPhoto works.
Looks like Hangover 4.
Does it?
The women.
Oh, I don't know if I like that. We're a little tamer than that. No tigers. Auto enhance obviously taking a really long time. There's a lot to enhance.
It's time to get new iPads.
I know. It really is.
Yeah, we need to update these.
But again, iPhoto, if you are an iPhoto fan, this is not going to the functionality hasn't changed, but the design has, and I think it looks really nice. Photo books now you can compose from an iPad. Previously that was just a feature that you only had on the Mac version of iPhoto, so that's cool. Especially because holidays are coming up and photo books are a great gift.
I like photo books.
I do too.
I never make them, but I like them. I always think I'm going to make one.
From iPhoto on your Mac?
I might have made them like for the show like years ago.
Yeah.
And I always think, like when we just got back from a trip, 1,600 pictures, I thought it'd be great. I put all the pictures together. I can make a nice photo book, put it on the coffee table. Yeah. Always think I'm going to do that. Never do.
I will say.
Do you?
I will say that 1 year. Somebody put together a photo book for me of, you know, memories that we had together.
Yeah.
And it was the nicest gift I've ever gotten.
Oh, it is.
And it happened to be composed with an iPhoto. I know that there are other photo books, making apps that you can go through, but it really was, I cried. It was very nice. And then we broke up and I hate him.
I'm going to make an album of my favorite pictures from, these are memories, of my Simpsons Tapped Out. Memories. I'll put memories behind it. Of the faded photo. Of the way we were. Faded memories. Yep, those were the days.
Wow. I can't believe you have so many of those.
That's my photo book.
That's a little odd.
See if somebody nice would make me for my birthday a little memory book of back when I used to play that game.
Wow.
There's my Springfield.
Yeah, that would be a nice little thing. iMovie, as I mentioned, has also been updated. iMovie for iOS, so on the iPad, now includes desktop class effects. Things like picture-in-picture. That is now possible to do right from the iPad. The OS X version of iMovie also has a new design, has also support for editing speeds. If you take some of those slow-mo 120 frames per second videos on your iPhone, you can import them into iMovie for the Mac, and it will retain the slow-mo. What? Are you still really upset about your
shattered pictures
stuff? My gosh, you need to let it go.
The way we used to be.
It's for the best. You know, you have to move on to something that's a little bit more real and true.
That's
like
as real as
GarageBand, which has also been updated for iOS. Yeah. You want to hear about it?
Yeah.
GarageBand for iOS now supports 16 tracks on all devices, up to 32 tracks on 64-bit devices like the iPhone 5S. It was previously limited to 8 tracks, though. So this is, you know, you can basically double up.
I bet it doesn't work on our iPad 3s.
Well, it's going to work, just not well.
Slow.
It would be slow and clunky, yeah. But it's okay because we're about to upgrade to those fancy A7 processors.
This is what you do. This is how they get you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, it's free, but they do have in-app purchases for certain tracks. And
they have to do that because they don't...
Tracks
you know,
and instruments.
Yeah,
right. Well, because that's how they can get around licensing issues and be able to pay back.
Exactly. I think that's what it is. Is that you can't give away some of this stuff because they have to pay license fees.
Correcto. So that's iLife. Again, it's free if you get a new device.
How about iWork? Now the icons are beautiful and new, but do the programs look different at all?
Yes.
All right, let's go to Pages.
You've updated, right?
Yes. Boy, I gotta get a new iPad. I think that's the whole point of this.
Isn't it awful?
Like, oh, it's so slow. Easy formatting, Apple design templates, powerful. This is all the same. This hasn't changed much. So let's see. I don't know. I don't have anything really pretty. My stuff, you know, my stuff is very text oriented. Your document will open in the new pages for iOS. To open it on a Mac, you need to install the latest pages. So that's something to know about. Is this is a new format? So we're going to open it, but once
Everybody's
we do,
gotta
you're
going to
upgrade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. iWork on the desktop as well, or you won't be able to open it there anymore. And
you know, Alex Lindsay, during our live coverage of the Apple event, was really excited about the real-time collaboration tools that are now part of iWork.
Yeah.
If you
do you
are...
want to try working on something together?
Sure. What do you got open? What do you got? Pages?
Well, how would you know? I mean, like, I have to share it with you, right?
Well, yeah.
Okay. Well, there's this share box, which I still don't understand. Share link via iCloud, right? That's what I would want to do?
That's what you would do.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now, first time, anyone with a link to your document can make changes. These changes will update the document on our Mac and I. Yeah, let's do that. Okay. And then it's still syncing. Wait for the sync to complete, then try sharing
it. The document
is
still
again.
Being synced to iCloud. Wait.
It's like a 200-word text-only document.
Interesting. Well, so I don't know. Now, what? Still syncing. How much stuff do you have on Pages, though?
I give up. Anyway, Keynote,
well,
same
right.
thing. Numbers, same thing.
But the idea is that through iCloud, you and I can...
Oh, an introduction to Bridges.
Ooh, neato.
Neat.
I actually like Bridges. That's pretty cool. We can work on something together. So I can jump into a document. It's very much the way that Google Docs works quite well for a lot of us. In fact, to the point where I've been thinking, well, maybe, you know, the TNT team should try to do a show only using iWork collaboration.
Well,
and just see if it's better or worse.
I agree, because we use Google Docs heavily, and I don't see a lot of impetus to change to iWork.
Exactly.
And the disadvantage, Google Docs works everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The disadvantage of iWork is, I mean, I guess you could do it on the web only, right? So you could do it on Windows.
Yeah.
It feels like you should have an Apple device.
It feels as if you get a little penalized.
Yeah.
If you're not using, the standard apps, just because the experience is somehow diminished if you're not using an Apple device. But it would all, and I really don't have a problem with Google Docs. It's limiting in certain ways, but I'm so used to it that I know how to get around that stuff. But it would be nice to have other alternatives.
Right.
It's not the greatest suite of programs ever made. It just works. Apple. Google
works.
Docs just works. Google Drive.
It's not pretty.
Oh.
What'd you think of the Eddie Q album
art? Not pretty also.
Ugly.
The whole thing, that whole part of
not
the...
an impressive part
if
of
you
the
haven't
demo.
Seen the keynote, yeah. There was sort of like a little bit of a comedy thing happening for a few minutes that I think made us all squirm. We weren't into it.
Yeah.
It just wasn't good. But you know what is good?
What?
Listening to audiobooks.
Love audible.com. Do you want me to talk about audible.com?
Well, I got
my Audible app right here on my iPad. I love Audible. They've got apps for all the major platforms, of course. Audible is the best audiobook store in the world. 150,000 titles in any category. You can listen on any device. Of course, it works with iTunes. It'll sync to your iPod. Notice no iPod announcements this year.
No.
No updates.
We don't talk about iPads
We don't talk.
Anymore.
But it's great for your iPad or your iPhone. In fact, this is an iPad app, which is great. I have to re-log in, so I'm not going to do that right now. But I will talk a little bit about some of the great stuff you can get on Audible.com. I am a big fan of sci-fi. Audible has become the king of the sci-fi audiobooks. My goodness, they have great stuff. Some of the most amazing stuff, including, you know, the new movie Ender's Game is coming out in a couple of weeks. Look, X-1, they have sci-fi radio series. That's fun. If you like the old school sci-fi. If you're going to go see Ender's Game, the movie, may I recommend you listen to the book. They have several editions. The 20th anniversary edition is great. But also, they have a dramatization of Ender's Game now, a full cast audio play. I just downloaded it. It's awesome. It's awesome. Now, you're going to get a book free right now if you visit audiblepodcast.com/iPad today. I had to pause there for dramatic
effect. Catch your breath, yeah.
audiblepodcast.com/iPad today. What you'll be doing is signing up for the Gold account. That's a book a month. Your first month's free. Your first book is free. Cancel any time in the first 30 days. You'll pay nothing, but that book is yours to keep forever. I really recommend you get the app, but you can do it in iTunes as well. Wonderful books. So much great stuff. I don't even know where to start. Start with the psychopath test. I took it.
Joel.
Are you one?
There was a short silence. Nothing, I said. But if he's not going to do anything to us, why are you worried?
Why are you worried? A great way to learn accents. They have some of the best readers in the world. Usually actors, trained performers, and they bring these books to life. Look, if you're not an Audible member, please, audiblepodcast.com/iPad today. Fiction, nonfiction. I listen to a lot of history. I'm listening to a very knock-me-out book about Scientology, Inside Scientology by Janet Reitman. Wow, what a story that is. I can't put it down. It's as good as a thriller. Audiblepodcast.com/iPad today. Pick your book. Enjoy it for free. You can thank me later.
That's it.
Okay. We've got some people wondering what the heck is going on with these naming conventions for iPads.
What do you mean? Like iPad Air?
Like, what the heck? So iPad Richard Mini? Writes in. Richard was one of
many. But it's interesting. Mini and Air are both both Macintoshes.
Yeah.
They own trademarks. It's easy.
Yeah. I guess that's...
What does Richard say?
Richard says... Since the Air and the Mini are basically the same now, except for the size, why do you think Apple didn't just name the new Mini the iPad Mini Air or the iPad Air Mini? I would think that since Apple is going down the Air line, they would name both products Air. Or does Apple have some sort of different plan?
Why waste your time trying to figure this out?
Because that's what people do when it comes to Apple.
Why do they name Coke One... Coke One and Coke Zero, Coke Zero.
Because it's one better? Coke Zero has zero calories.
And Coke One has?
I don't know. Lot of them?
I don't know.
I don't. But then there's Diet Coke. This is all.
What?
This is a cola thing, and I don't know anything.
Why
about
do they
cola.
Name Diet? What's the difference in Coke Zero, Diet Coke? I don't understand.
Coke Zero is made. The point like, being. Is like the Coke Air.
The point
Diet
being.
Diet Coke is the. It's going to.
There's
hurt
Coke
you.
Light.
Full Coke.
There's Coke Zero.
Should be called Coke Buttermilk.
There's Diet Coke. What the heck? But do you care? Do you worry about it? No. It's just what they call it.
You get the one you like.
You buy the one you like.
And you enjoy it.
Air, Mini
it's
Air.
Exactly the same with Apple.
Air Plus Pro.
Exactly.
Will they do an iPad Pro next
Richard
year?
Richard makes a somewhat good point, though. They're basically both Airs.
There's no linearity.
They're iPad Airs. One is larger. One is smaller.
No, it's Why not an Air. It's a Mini.
But it's also an Air. It's a
no,
Mini
it's not
Air.
An Air. Only the Air is an Air.
I don't know that's
where
that's true.
That's where you make a mistake, my dear.
I don't think you're thinking this through.
It's not an Air.
Richard, I'm with
what
you.
What makes something an Air?
The
What?
The everything.
No.
In it. Everything
no.
in
what
the
makes
mini.
It, you want to know what means... makes it an Air? Tim Cook makes it an Air.
Okay.
That's what makes it an Air.
All right.
I dub
Boom.
The Air. Boom.
Mic drop. Yep. Walks out. Okay, Richard. Tim Cook said no. Sorry. Your argument is invalid. So Stephen sent us a voicemail. He has some thoughts on security in iOS 7 and a question as well.
Hey, Sarah and Leo. This is Stephen from L.A. I just wanted to throw out two things. Why doesn't Apple make it an option to require a passcode to power off or power on the device? Also, use airplane mode. That way it can make Find My iPhone a much more useful feature when you need to track it. All an opportunist thief has to do is turn it off. And the other thing I wanted to tell you, when you go to the lock screen, the camera on the bottom corner now bounces up and down, and you can thrust it all the way down like a basketball, and it'll bounce all the way to the top and open up. And
what?
Mode. Interesting.
It doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
What
is he
talking
about? I don't see a bouncing.
Steven, is that what he means?
There we go.
Is he on the phone right now?
Steven, are you watching us?
What?
There we go. There we go.
Wait a second.
The only reason it bounces up and down is because of this.
It's basically saying, like, nope, going the wrong way. Going the wrong way. There you
okay,
go.
Okay, let me just put
I
it.
I think Stephen
let me just make
realized
it simple
that
for
you can open up the camera app from the lock
Let
screen,
me make it simple
which is,
for you.
Which is a fun little duh tip.
Whenever you begin a sentence with, why doesn't Apple...
Blank.
There's no answer.
His question is, why... Doesn't Apple require you to enter your passcode
when you turn it on? or to turn it on or off.
But it does when you turn it on.
But what he's pointing out, which we've pointed out before, for instance, if you have a passcode, as I do here, you can still use Siri. You can still take a picture. There's a lot you can do. Now, you can turn these features off.
Right.
If you want it so that nobody can do nothing until they put in the passcode, you could do that in the settings. You could turn that all off. So they give it to you as an option because sometimes people don't want, they want to quickly take a picture, so they don't want to enter their passcode. Or they want to quickly get directions somewhere, so they don't want to enter a passcode. I don't think, you know, that's up to you, but you can turn it off. You can turn it off. I don't think if you own an Apple product, you should really be questioning Apple. You should just be enjoying life.
Right.
That's the way. Look at.
If they want to screw something up.
Remember that arrow?
They're not going to listen to you.
Remember the sign they showed with the arrow going like.
And they said, that's Android.
That's the other guys.
That's the Android.
And the arrow going straight one way.
It's just a big jumble of
That's how Apple does it. But you got to follow that road. You don't get it. You don't get to say. Well, why don't you turn left here instead of right? You don't get to say that. You get to say, thank you, Apple.
Although they do sometimes let you choose. For example, reduce motion is actually a helpful little tool. And I think that had a lot to do with Apple saying,
listening.
There are a lot of people who seem to be upset about this.
I agree.
Why not just give them a little bit of an option?
I agree. I think that that's true. Now,
they'll never admit that.
The thief thing is very interesting because the Find My iPad requires the iPad to be connected. Right? Mm-hmm. And so... what he's saying about turning it off, I think, makes sense, which is the minute somebody gets an iPhone or an iPad, the first thing you would want to do is turn it off because otherwise Find My iPad works. Turn it off and leave where you are because it will say the last location.
Mm-hmm.
So turn it off, go 100 feet, and you're fine. And I think thieves probably know that, which makes Find My iPad not so useful in the situation where your stuff's been stolen.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with him on that. I don't know if there's an answer to that.
I think, though, that is a new feature in iOS 7, is it not? Somebody correct me if I'm wrong.
What?
That you do have to have your passcode in order to turn that off.
So, okay, so here I am.
If you're a thief.
He did mention something like that,
if you're
right?
a thief, you take my iPad and you're running, and you go, oh, crap, let's shut down and find my iPad.
Let's turn it off here. Let's just turn off my iPad and see if I can turn this off. Slide to power off. Is it going to ask me for the passcode there? No. Maybe the new hardware does that.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're not actually talking about the app itself. You're talking
I'm
about
just saying,
just
shut the darn
the
thing off.
Yes. As if it ran out of batteries,
yeah.
Which would also make it render
so
it.
So now, no, you know, as soon as it's done doing whatever that is.
It's turning off really slowly. It's like, please don't turn me off.
Do you think they did an update in iOS 7 to, like, make the older iPads slower?
Yeah, so that we're like, boy, do we want a new one.
I need a new one.
Who's got
so now it's
bucks?
Off, and Find My iPad isn't going to do nothing. It's going to show my last known location, which is here. But if I move,
you know, Stephen, maybe you've got a point. If you are really, really worried about something like that happening, maybe we should not be able to turn off our iPads unless we enter the right code.
And is it not the case? So to turn off the program, Find My iPhone, you need a passcode. But all you have to do is turn off the. I guess though that means you can't use it anymore.
Right.
Because if you're a thief and you stole it, now you go somewhere, you turn it on again to use it while you're.
Then you get
so
the
that makes sense.
Thing.
So that's what they've done. They made it so that you can't turn it. Go to your wherever thieves go, your cave.
To the prison bar.
And turn it back on, and then immediately go to Find My iPhone and turn it on and undo that. That will need a passcode. So that's good. That's good.
I really like the idea of a prison bar. I know I'll move off of this, but like you'd be like
a bar
ooh.
In a prison.
Well, I mean, you're like
oh, you have a bar. You call it prison bar, and when you go in, you have to wear stripes and have a and sip. And
no,
go
I actually like thought cup. It would be on location at like San Quentin
at a bar.
Yeah, and you're kind of like it's kind of edgy, you know? It's this new place. It's at the correctional facility in Cellblock B.
I don't like that.
I kind of living
little,
on the edge.
It's a little dangerous. A
little bit. Hey, let's move on to an email we got from Blair. He says he lives in West Hollyweird. Got it. I know it well. He says, I think it's pretty easy to figure out why they're keeping the iPad 2 in the lineup.
Oh, good.
He says, you might remember Tom Merritt says all the time that he doesn't really have lag issues with his iPad with the new OS.
Because
iOS
he's using
7.
An old one.
He has an iPad 2.
Yeah.
He says, you've noticed a bit of a lag using the iPad 3. I think it's just because of performance going forward with the best user experience.
Mm.
He says, also, it'd be really cheap to produce so with a higher profit margin of the person that doesn't want to shell out an extra $100 for the newest and greatest. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you've got a device that's got a higher profit margin because it's easier for Apple to make and there's less of a lag in general because it has a leaner...
I guess it's really Apple saying, hey, most people don't even know or care, so we're going to offer this. And, yeah. You know, you don't care.
So many conspiracy theories. Yeah. Apple doesn't care.
So if I go into my settings here to turn off Find My iPad,
yeah.
Right? So this is the thief. He turned it off. He ran away.
Oh.
Now he's in his lair.
The thief is a man.
And he says, okay.
Okay.
Oh, see, it needs a password.
Yeah.
That's the point.
That's
the point.
If you want to be a thief and you want to use the iPad you just stole.
Right. You can't. Well, you have to sell it right away.
You are S-O-L,
and let the other
buddy.
Guy get the...
Sell it fast.
Yeah.
In the prison bar, because that's where those deals tend to happen.
That would be the place.
Catherine's got a question. And at first I was like, Catherine, why would you want this? But you know what? I know better than to try to understand you people. She says, I'm super excited to upgrade my iPad 2 to either the new iPad Air or the iPad Mini, but I wanted your opinion on whether or not I should use a screen protector. I've always used a Zag InvisiShield on all my phones and tablets, but I've been told that the new screens that Apple uses don't need them anymore, and they actually degrade the viewing quality. Are screen protectors still a good idea? Well, I can say that I've only had my 5S for a couple of weeks now, and I already have a couple of scratches on it because I tend to, I sort of throw it around, and I don't use a case or
if
a
you
screen
put
protector,
in a purse
so,
with keys or, you know,
things happen.
Bury it in the sand.
If you bury it in the
it
sand
can easily
for a while,
get scratched.
Little particles of sand will
if
start
you,
to.
I bet you do this. A lot of people do that. Put it face down when you go to bed so that the light doesn't wake you up.
I would never do that. How am I going to see the texts that are coming in late
Well,
night?
At 3 in the morning, you really want those texts?
I can sleep through it.
Yeah, all right.
But no, I do put it face down when I'm at a restaurant.
There you go.
I'm not polite enough to put it away. I just put it face down
so you can't really see it. But then there's grit there, and you know, it could easily scratch.
It does happen. But
we're the wrong people to ask because we don't keep our stuff very long. So we don't care if it's scratched, right? If you want to keep it 3 years, you should probably use a screen protector. I don't like them. I think it does degrade the image. It's funky looking, funky feeling.
It would be impossible for it to be completely invisible. So yeah, you're not really going to have that big of a diminished experience. But if you're concerned with having the utmost quality, particularly since you're going from an iPad 2, so you haven't had Retina yet, it sure is nice. You're probably not going to want anything.
Yeah,
on top of that.
Don't put it on until you play with the Retina for a little
bit. You know,
and then just be a little more careful with your screen. They are, you know, they're Gorilla Glass 3, I guess now, and they're very hardened.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to scratch them, but you know, grit can scratch.
It will happen.
Well, it could happen if you just throw it in your purse. Don't throw it in your purse.
Well, it's sort
get
of
a
like
case.
If you want that new couch to stay as pristine as the day you bought it,
perfect
you cover
example.
It in plastic.
But who wants to sit on a plastic covered couch?
I don't. I would feel like I am a...
Slip right off.
Right. You know, what do you think I'm going to do? Wet the couch? I'm not.
It is very much like that.
I can be trusted.
It's exactly like
Let's take the plastic
Let,
off.
You bought it. Enjoy it.
Enjoy it.
Things get worn out. Things get worn. You can't slow down life. Entropy is a real thing.
Right.
Let it happen.
Yeah. Skateboards are supposed to look beat up.
Let it happen.
That's how you know you're using it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scratch up that Gorilla Glass. Make it work. We want to hear from all of you. Hopefully we gave you really good advice, Catherine, just now. You can email us at iPadToday@twit.tv. You can leave us a voicemail at 757-504-IPAD, like Stephen did.
Thank you, Stephen. I rock it, Commando.
So do I.
Who needs extra protection? Let's just go out there and let your freak flag fly.
That's right, yeah. Have confidence in what you got. Let it out. Fly free. You can also send us a video. If at any point you say, you know what, I want to turn a camera on myself, I want to record a little something for Leo and Sarah, and then I want to send it to them, and I want them to watch me, please, let's, you know, keep it clean.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to put it in a future show. You can just upload the video somewhere and send us the link. Thanks in advance.
Our show today brought to you by our good friends at Gazelle. I know you want one. I know you do.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe you got that old one. What are we going to do with our iPad 3s?
What are you going to do with all those iPads?
We're going to gazelle.com. I bet you In fact, would you do this for me, Brian? Would you just see? Well, I could do it here. Let's just see. Let's go to gazelle.com. Click that iPad link. I want to see what this iPad, these two iPad 3s we have here, if we could trade them in. That's the third generation. Mine is just Wi-Fi, isn't it? Yours is, do you have, I'll just do the Wi-Fi one. I'll do mine. And it's, it's 64 gigs.
I've got the data plan.
Let's get an offer here, right? Oh, what? Good. It's a good, what? No, $230. That's awesome. I'm halfway to my new one. If it's in flawless, you give them an extra $20. I love this. So here's the deal. Now, get that quote now, because I guarantee you it's not getting more valuable. Just out of curiosity, what is a used iPad 2 worth? That's the one Apple's selling for
$299.
Mm-hmm. Gazelle will pay us for a Wi-Fi 16 gig. 16, that's what the only one Apple's selling now. $160. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got all this stuff lying around, get the price now. The quote's good for 30 days. You don't have to send it to them for 30 days. That gives you time to get the new iPad, transfer your data onto it, you know, see how you like it, and then press, you know, check out, and they'll send you a box, prepaid mailing box. On anything worth more than $1, they pay all the shipping fees. You send it to them. They turn around quickly. If you forget to wipe the data, don't worry. They will wipe your data for you. They'll assess your condition, and if it's better than you said, which it often is, they'll even up your offer. They're very good about that. Now, here's your choice. You can get a check. You can get a PayPal credit. That's the fastest. You can also get, and I like this, an Amazon gift card. I spent a lot of money on Amazon. And the reason you might want that, they bump it up by 5%. So that quote, that $200 quote, suddenly it's $210. Gazelle.com, really seriously, you're going to love it. It's the best way to pass on those used gadgets. Gazelle.com. We thank them so much for our support of iPad. Nice.
Ah, yeah.
Oh, man, I have one of those, too.
Oh, you do?
Let's be twinsies. So I'm going to wear my hat. You wear your hat.
Now, that's a nice hat. It makes you look very svelte.
No, I think it's the other way around.
Oh. It
makes me look like I have a giant head.
Well, you
do. So, this is the AppCap portion of our show.
That's
where
correct.
We wear funny hats in order, or not-so-funny hats.
Yeah.
Or don't wear them.
Or just hats in general. We have a big hat collection here at TWIT. Big hat collection. There you go.
Yeah.
That looks pretty good.
That's better.
And we figure, why not create a part of iPad Today where we have an excuse to wear hats? So we decided, let's both pick an app of the week that we like and we think is worthy of you liking as well, put on hats, call them app caps, and consider it an award show. That's what we did. True story. So this is the part of the show where I start. And, you know, my app this week, I started off really thinking it was awesome. Called Device 6. Have you heard of it? It's actually an editor's pick.
No, I don't even know what it is.
So you may have actually seen it floating around the App Store.
Yeah.
Device 6, all in caps. And I am...
What is it doing?
Well, I'm already stuck.
What is happening?
So what it is...
Is it a magnifying glass?
No. It is kind of like a mystery.
It's a game?
It's part... Sorry, my nail polish was
so bad. I love this. Whatever it is, I want it.
Well, all right. It is a game, but it's part like mystery, choose-your-own-adventure.
They don't explain it. You just thrust in the middle of it.
Yeah. And so... And I can't even get back to the beginning because...
Oh, doorbell.
Can you hear that?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're like... things that you
so that's a box so that you're okay so there's an electrical device.
Yeah,
you're seeing the manual for it over on the right there, so you can figure out how it works if you just keep reading. And you're on the third floor, the Kirk room. So it's an adventure, a mystery adventure. I want this.
It is.
But who could figure it out?
I can't. I don't know if anyone else is playing Device 6.
I'm downloading it right now.
By the way,
I refuse to be defeated by
that
game.
You can see some of this sort of weird stuff.
A special child's
room. There are a lot
room.
Of twists and turns. I'm going to go backwards just to give you, like, and that you have to, like, read weird stuff at the same time. There are a bunch of instances where then you're forced to start doing this. Ooh, sorry, my hat's in the way. And then...
You need a smaller hat. Fortunately, I have one.
Well, good, yeah. You can see,
wow,
like, Anna's...
Cool.
The whole thing is, here's the premise. Anna is, like, she wakes up, she's in a weird place, she's in basically, like, a mansion. She can, you know, see out certain windows, and so you're supposed to get some clues, like, oh, there's a lighthouse out there. Interesting.
So this is kind of like Mist a little
bit, maybe? I don't
know
what it's like, really. Honestly, it's...
Radio?
I'm at the very beginning.
Wow. I love this.
Well, I liked it until basically, let's see if I can get us all
the way. Did you read everything?
I read everything.
And it still didn't...
No, it's like you get you see all the stuff. Now I'm just
something.
I
just feel like there's a mystery to be solved.
Well, there is a mystery to be solved.
It's not just random words and what
in the room where red meets yellow in a frame.
Yeah.
Plus another framed number.
Sorry.
Between hope and lies.
Okay, master's voice. Whatever. But so you get to the point. I'm going through this way too quickly because I want to
show
you
guys. If you solved
this,
you would have a great sense of accomplishment.
I know. Oh, you got to do this now. Whoops, sorry. That was me.
Wow, that is cool.
Is it, though? I mean, it's really very frustrating because...
Well, I can't tell because somebody's hat is in the way.
I'm sorry. I'm taking this thing off. Jeez Louise.
Is the key.
And then...
See, I told you. It's a simple math problem.
It's not, though. It's not a math problem. See, and then you got to, like, read weird text that looks like that... And then you get to the point where, I'm trying to get you guys to the point where, basically, she comes, yes, all right, so this is as far as I've gotten. She put, blah, 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 she pulled the handle, locked.
Yeah.
And at this, it's like, there's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And then I'm stuck.
You have to unlock it. You got to go back and
but I
you were
tried.
Given the keys to unlock it.
I was
you just
not.
Didn't bother listening.
I listened.
And paying attention. You were too busy fiddling with your hat.
Well, I wasn't wearing the hat earlier.
People shouldn't wear hats that big. Notice, my hat does not get in the way of my app.
Well, aren't you so much better than me? Because your hats have never gotten in the way of our overhead shots in the past.
Not anymore.
Certainly
girlfriend.
Not.
Girlfriend.
This is called Device 6. Now, I think that I the reason I actually wanted to show it off is because I think this is a good example of when an app is $4, it's $3.99 in the App Store, you really have to be up for the challenge. Because somebody like me downloads it, and I'm like, $4 for something that I don't get it. Yeah, there was probably a clue in there. I felt like I read everything, I didn't get it, and now I'm sort of stuck, and you don't want that to happen to you. However, if you're up for a challenge, and I really do think that this is, it's very unique. I mean, it's downright oddball, really.
What's it called again?
It's called Device 6. And then the number 6, Device 6, from Simogo, who have made apps in the past.
So you could always go online and
I'm sure there's cheats.
Search for
and
the cheats.
Yeah, there's helpful stuff. It's just, it's one of those apps that is, maybe it's just...
Maybe nobody knows because it's
too highbrow for me.
There are no cheats.
Oh, really?
It says, be the first to submit a cheat.
Oh, there you go. Well, it's also new.
It's new.
It's new. So, yeah, Don Cornelius in chat says, I'm going to gift Device 6 to a friend who loves games like that.
I like
that's
to be
That's actually
puzzled.
A great, that's a great, it's a great gift idea because it's some sort of a mind teaser. If somebody is like, oh, Device 6 is not really that hard, Sarah, please help
no,
me get past
it looks
the
hard.
Door.
And it looks like, but you know, if you do crossword puzzles and you can do them and then you might be tempted to do a cross stick or one of those like really interestingly hard puzzles and you get there and you go, I don't know what's going on here. It's like that.
Yeah.
Where it's just for serious game people.
It's for people who probably want to take it.
Here's a complete
to a level that
complete
I can't
walkthrough on Jay is Games.
Okay.
Waking up inside a castle on a remote island,
well,
unsure
don't give
of
it
how
away
to,
for
okay,
anybody
don't
who
watch.
Wants to do it themselves.
There is a it's a, what they call a originally designed and bizarrely surreal narrative puzzle adventure.
Yeah.
In this review.
It's neat.
I can't wait to play it.
Play it.
I'm
going to
buy it.
Buy it. Buy a Device 6.
And I may find myself
frustrated.
Yeah.
You will. Unless I'm just horrible at it. But enough about me.
It says if you're not fond of reading mystery novellas... Well, anyway,
I like that part of it.
Yeah.
I'm like, cool, let's find out where she is.
Right.
Anna needs a smoke.
It's a mist we.
Yeah, it's a mist we. Hey, so what's your app cap of the week?
So BBM, BlackBerry Messenger is not my app cap, but BlackBerry Messenger came out for Android and iPhone and iOS, so you could put it on your iPhone.
Earlier this week.
If a lot of your friends are on BlackBerry Messenger, you know, it was very popular. Millions of downloads immediately. In fact, so many that you had to get in line. It didn't take very long for me to get my invite, about a day, not much longer. But I think one thing you should know, BlackBerry Messenger, Steve Gibson talked about this yesterday on Security Now, it is not secure. You may think it's secure, but everybody who uses BlackBerry Messenger shares the same key. That means it would be trivial. It is trivial to crack a BlackBerry Messenger message. So Steve mentioned during the show that there are ways to securely instant message. We no longer can really trust Skype because we believe the National Security Agency has a backdoor into Skype. He recommends something called Threema, and it's kind of interesting. Available for a variety of platforms. There's no iPad version, but especially on iOS 7, iPhone apps work very nicely. So the first thing you'll do, Threema is an instant messenger program that uses something called public key cryptography. This is a known secure way for you and me to exchange messages without anybody in between being able to read it. I give you my public key. I can give anybody my public key. In fact, I'm about to generate my key pair, a public and a private key. I keep my private key to myself. Don't share that. You can even password protect it. In fact, you probably should, so that even if somebody got it, they couldn't do anything with it. You do the same thing. You give me your public key.
Okay.
I could send you messages encrypting those messages using your public key. You could send me messages encrypting messages using my public key, but neither of us can decrypt anybody else's message. You need your private key to decrypt.
Okay.
Public key encrypts, private key decrypts. Does that make sense?
Yes.
There's two keys. It's kind of a magic thing that's transformed.
Feels that way, yeah.
Transformed. PGP uses it, a lot of others. This is using that same kind of technology. It's $1.99, which I think is very fair. So the first thing you do is you're going to generate your key pair. And in order to do that properly, you have to add some entropy because the random number generators in computers aren't really random. So I'm just going to give it some random data by moving my finger around, and you see you have to do it a certain amount so that it will go all the way across. The theory being that when you move your finger around, you're doing it in a fashion that is unique and somewhat chaotic. Now, it's generated a key pair. The public key has been sent to the server. My ID is this long number. Now, you're going to be able to give it a name as well, but this is the long number. I can send messages to other users of Threema. Now, this is what I love. There's three levels of security. You can enter the ID manually. So I could send you an email saying, hey, Sarah, my ID is just like a BlackBerry pin. It's a little bit longer. 38YP2B5V. I'm not going to use this, folks, so don't email me or message me with this because this is just as a demonstration. Mm-hmm. I can put this in my address book. And if we synchronize contacts, you'll see that I'm a Threema user. That's the next most secure way to do it. The most secure way is to scan a code. I'm going to show you where that comes in. It's going to look through my contacts, find other Threema users. If this is nice, it does not upload my contact book, just a hash, which it then uploads. And if the hashes match, then it sends the hash back down and says, these match. I can upload to their server my information, which makes it easier for people to find me. This is my public nickname. You can change this, though, and make it something more like Leo. They suggest you not use your real name. You use a handle here. But this will be included in my information on the Threema website. And then the best thing to do, and you see Chris Marquardt is using it, one of my friends. But the best thing to do is to meet in person and share the key fingerprint. You could do that, I guess, by giving them this long number, but easier, give them the QR code. So if I meet Steve Gibson, who's using Threema, or Chris Marquardt, who's using Threema, in person, we can exchange QR codes. Now we have the most secure way to communicate. Threema doesn't store these messages. It does have to store them on their way, but they're fully encrypted with strong encryption, so they can't release them to the government. They can't read them. The only people who can read the message I send to you is you or anybody with your private key, yeah. But you're not going to give that up. Same way all the way around. So the idea, now I can, by the way, if you've got Threema running and I've got Threema running, I can now take a picture of your QR code using my camera and add it to my Threema address book. I can share messages this way. People are already sending me messages, as you can see, because they saw my ID number.
Yeah.
But that's not the most secure way to do it. The most secure way to do it is to exchange this longer ID. And now we've really got secure messaging. BBM is not secure. Skype is probably not secure. We can presume that the government at least has keys to this. If you're using Apple Messages, we know it's not secure because Apple can restore messages. That means they can see the messages. And I can go on and on and on. This is the equivalent of PGP, which is a known strong encryption technology. So if you do want to instant message people, It's on all platforms. It's very easy to use. It's very cleverly designed. This is a good choice. $1.99 for secure messaging. Threema.
Threema.
And I'm not going to, obviously, I'm not going to use this. I have a Threema ID. This is not it. You can send me messages. I'll read these. I've got six messages in my inbox.
Six messages.
Yeah, other Threema users, I guess.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's good.
This is something people should know about in this day and age. It's nice to know, even if it's a person with a very small hat telling you this, that there is a way to securely...
And it's not Snapchat. It's Threema.
We know Snapchat's not safe, by the way.
Yeah. No, it's a...
Yeah. Threema is a Swiss company.
The jig is up.
These messages are on Swiss servers. They're you know, U.S. not subject to U.S. laws. They're neutral.
Neutral messages. Yep. But you can send whatever you want. Nobody can see them.
Look at everybody's saying hi to me.
Thanks, Leo. And thanks, everybody, for watching this episode of iPad Today. Remember, we are live on Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific. That's funny. More like 2 these days, but hey, it's on the calendar. Like, you can get ready and be like in your chair, ready to rock with us.
It was a little late today, but we'll be on time tomorrow.
Yeah. Wait. Right,
because
you have the day off tomorrow, so we will be on time.
So we'll definitely be on time.
Zing. But thanks, everybody, for watching and listening. Remember, you can go to twitch.tv/IPT, catch up on any shows that you may have missed, catch all of the links to things that we talk about, apps and articles and good stuff like that. You can subscribe to the show there as well. And we'll be here same time next week. Thanks, everybody, for watching iPad Today.
So here's an example.